What is up? What is up, everybody? Today's conversation is for leaders. It's for contributors and quiet force multipliers within an organization, people who know that they're capable of more and want to become indispensable in the lives of their teams and their clients, if only somebody would show them how to unlock that. And when I was leading digital initiatives at iHeartRadio for one of their nationally syndicated talk shows, my impact was so small on that organization, but in my heart, I was frustrated because I wanted the head of that network to see me as I saw me as being so invaluable to the organization. And you know what happened is eventually I just had to realize that there was another level inside of me, a new level of service and the way that I actually cared and how I used my full potential to impact people's lives. And when I elevated myself to becoming indispensable, the person that owned every aspect of the position, iHeart took immediate notice. And before I even noticed it, they shifted my priorities. And within 6 months, I was leading 7 of the largest nationally syndicated talk shows. You would know all of the shows. And what was the difference? And how did the organization recognize that impact? Well, it changed my entire life. This podcast is brought to you by the WireBuzz team. Now, if that name sounds familiar, it's because I've spent the past decade growing WireBuzz into a digital marketing powerhouse designed to maximize clarity in complex sales processes so we can help accelerate revenue. And we do this in 3 phases. Phase 1, we transform your website to function like your best salesperson and then also incorporate persuasive on-demand sales videos. Now your entire team is aligned on messaging and they're injecting massive clarity into your prospect's head. So your site looks great, but it also has engaging content that helps your team sell on demand 24/7. The next phase, phase 2, we train your sales and marketing teams to sell remotely or in person to expand the impact of your sales team. And the third phase is we develop and run targeted ads to your prospects. Scale those ads to help you achieve more business results. Sign up for the WireBuzz Company newsletter to learn more about effective and simple ways to improve your company messaging, attract more digital attention, and ultimately make more sales. Today, we're going to talk about becoming indispensable, not just in your role, but in how you show up in the lives of people on your team on a daily basis. And most importantly, how do you serve them and your clients at the same time? And we're going to pull back the curtain today, not to talk about a healthcare system, but to talk about how you become so invaluable to your customers and your team, what it takes to shift from marginal contribution to difference maker inside of your organization. And that's why I'm joined right now by Terry Murphy, President and CEO of Bay Health. Terry has led major hospital expansions, developed high performance teams that are connected to their why. We're going to focus on that also. And to help them push through the how, because whenever you're focused on the why you're doing something, the how actually becomes the easy part. And you created a culture where people just don't work hard. They show up to be stabilizers, accelerators, and mission-driven catalysts. Terry, thanks for joining me right here on the Toddcast.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate being here and joining you and your audience.
You know, Nietzsche said something that I just got chills just mentioning it. In Twilight of Idols, Nietzsche said, "He who has a why can bear almost any how." And in leadership and in life, I've found that people who show up the strongest in pressure moments are the ones that are anchored on purpose. So what is your why, Terry, as a leader, and how has it helped you navigate the inevitable how struggles and tested your resilience and your impact?
Well, thank you for the question, Todd. I think generally, just growing up in a family situation where it was a large family of 7 siblings, and most of us ended up in careers where we were serving others. police officer, teachers, people working in the healthcare industry. And I think that that social structure and just the environment and the time that I grew up with a lot of the direction from my parents really focused me on wanting to serve others. And that really hasn't changed. And I think for most people on our teams, most people go into healthcare to really care for others. And it's a very, there's a very big reason why I think nurses and doctors are always very high on that professional spectrum, because they give of their lives professionally in serving others. I tell our teams, our calling is way up here. We're not, no offense to those that build bikes or have other businesses, but we're taking care of humans, taking care of family members and communities, and just have the ability to impact people significantly every day. Yes. So it's a pleasure to be in healthcare. The number of people that come into the profession continues to rise. And I think that just says something about what people are looking for in their lives. And that service to others is just a big drive.
Yeah. And, you know, I learned it as a waiter that I was there to serve. And part of serving is anticipating what that client or customer's next need is before they even know that they need it. And I see that service on that desire and willingness to serve people at the highest levels in healthcare, when healthcare is done incredibly well. I was raised by my grandparents, and my Nana died on a Thursday. My papa, while I was laying on the floor at his retirement home, keeping an eye on him, he had a heart attack 2 days later. And I found myself twice in 48 hours crying on the shoulders of a healthcare provider. And that is their everyday service from their heart. It's like a mission and a purpose. And I can tell just from our time together that that purpose to serve is strong in your heart. Where does that come from?
I really just think of getting the thrill out of seeing people and the impact that we can make. It's not hard to see it. We see it every day. And part of it is driven by being able to work with a group of people. Physicians, nurses, environmental service techs. These are individuals, and all of our jobs are just a little bit different, but we all have the ability to impact people. And so just surrounding yourselves in a healthcare organization is something that is also something that, even though it's very hard work, it can be very difficult work. It's the most complex industry that you can work in. Because so many people with so many different jobs all having to do it the right way, it is amazing to be able to work in that type of complex environment where people are there for the right reasons. And then when you see a young family with a new baby, or someone that has even gone through a palliative care experience where someone had to leave the earth, but you did it in the right way and you did it in a compassionate way. Just working with people, there's no better industry to work in and serving others in healthcare. And I think that has a lot to do with why folks do it.
Yeah. I find it obvious, but earlier in my life, it wasn't so obvious. You know, I'm a sports fan, and my friends are always like, hey, let's go to Notre Dame, or let's go see a game at Fenway. And I love that. But over a 4-year period in my life, everything changed. I created the first video medical encyclopedia on the internet. It had 8,000 interviews featuring the top doctors at hospitals all over the country. And as I walked through the hallways, you're talking about young parents, I realized that I would show up at Fenway or Notre Dame because that's where miracles happen. But the truth is, it really only happens on Sunday, but in hospitals, on every hallway, miracles are taking place. And the team in a hospital, that's a team sport, right? You would agree it's a team sport, because you guys
absolutely
pick each other up all day long, right? But it's also business in general is a team sport and an individual sport. Like, I'm chasing greatness. And I know you are too in your life and in your work. Like, I want to become the greatest version of me possible so I can create the fullest impact that God created for me while I'm here on earth and how I serve people. But I've read that you're a fan of tennis and also an individual sport. Who's your favorite tennis player?
My favorite tennis player is probably Gabby Sabalenka. Only because I love her spirit and I love her sense of humor. On the male side, I love the greatness of Djokovic, just someone who's been great over a long period of time for different reasons. And it's a very active sport. And usually the people that are in the sport are just really nice people who are out there just trying to be active and have a good time.
And chasing greatness. And it's an individual thing. And you see that in business with like leaders and individual people on their that are on a team, the ones that take ownership, right? Mm-hmm. And I know you also love playing basketball, a team sport, which requires like passing and trusting and moving as one, as a unit. How do these two lenses, individual mastery, team synergy, how do they show up in the way that you lead, Terry?
Two things, Todd. I think the individual has to bring the right behaviors to the job. So there are expectations, there are accountabilities. So you have to do that as an individual and make sure that you just get the best and the brightest people involved in your organization. But on the other side, you also have to have a professional code of conduct in how you work together as leaders, how you hold each other accountable, how you take any kind of gamesmanship or politics out of a leadership team. And it's never about the I. So you do pay attention to getting the best and the brightest that want to work in a team environment and under a behavioral code of conduct and how leaders work together that are direct with one another, hold each other accountable, not afraid to speak up. They don't triangulate. So we have a very particular code that we use at Bay Health, not in a weird way, but just a code of conduct in how we comport ourselves as leaders. So I think you've got to do both. It is extremely complex. If you just think of someone coming in for open heart surgery, if you haven't sterilized the room properly, if you don't have the right instruments, if you don't have the right technical person doing the surgery, if you don't have the right sutures, you can see there are a lot of people that have to pull up the most complex things in the world in saving someone's life or making someone better. So you have to have these ways of setting those behaviors of how you work together in order to do it well. And I just think that we have a group of team members. We have about 5,000 team members that bring it every day. And it doesn't really matter what your job title is. That doesn't really matter. We just have different roles. That's all. And I think the people here pull it off every day. But I think it's that two-sided thing. You've got to find and hire for the right talent. You've got to spend a lot of time to make sure that the truth behind the person that you're interviewing is what you're getting, getting the best and the brightest, and then setting the culture for your leaders.
And part of that, correct me if I'm wrong, as a leader is discovering the why in everyone on the team and helping to ignite that why. Visually, yes. Right? So they can push through the how, which is the real hard part.
Yeah, I think the why is extremely important. As a leadership team, we have to be very vulnerable with one another. We have a high level of trust as professionals. And it's because we are vulnerable with one another and understanding the why and understanding individuals. Taking care of people requires really deep relationship building, even if that may be a 4 or 5 day stay, you have to have these relationships built. And I think paying attention to those things with the people we serve makes a huge difference as well.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about, I went through a heart procedure in 2008. In 2013, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And in the moment we pushed my wife in, and prayed together, my wife whispered to me, "Have you noticed Dad?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "He keeps clutching his chest." And I said, "As soon as you go in this door, we're going to ER. The nurse is ready, but they didn't want to scare you." And she said, "Please don't worry about me. Take care of Dad right away." That was our last words. Dad went right to the ER. Now I have two patients. I've got one having surgery upstairs, one in the ER downstairs. They kept Dad overnight in the cancer recovery ward so he could be near his daughter. And I got to tell you, the love that I have seen from healthcare providers that's on a different level that probably happens every day within an organization, but only a layperson like me doesn't get to see, is really beautiful and yet undiscovered by common people that don't walk the hallway every day. Am I right about this?
Oh, absolutely. Just this morning, I received a note from one of our emergency room physicians who said that one of his colleagues, another emergency room physician, she had a patient who came in and was discovered with something very bad. She was in town for a wedding. She flew in from Colorado, but the condition was causing her to come in to get it checked out. And it was a very bad news to be given to this young woman. This physician reached back out to her home health system in Colorado and really set up the care plan, full discussion of how this was going to be taken care of. And those things can bring people to tears. So that kind of impact happens every day within the health system. You never want people to have to experience it to see it. But we think that we certainly are very proud of being able to touch people every day. And just every time a baby is delivered within our health system, we do a lullaby over the entire organization. So I just 30 minutes ago, another baby came, and sometimes they go back to back if they're twins, but it reminds us of why we're here. And it's bringing back that recognition of those that work in healthcare just do some amazing things. And as goofy as society can be, as angry as people can be in our society, when you come here, it's really about caring for other people. And it's what makes us a little bit distinctive.
Yeah, I've got chills all over me because I'm so lucky to have seen this in my life. And if I didn't spend 4 years in hospitals, I would have missed that moment altogether. And in every organization, as a leader, you've got hard workers, but then there are those that elevate everyone around them and they're impact people and they're so valuable to an organization. I consider them indispensable to the mission of the organization. These are the impact players. What makes the difference between someone who's a reliable contributor and someone who rises to the level of outstanding and becomes an indispensable member of a team under pressure?
Yeah, I think certainly how they respond to the pressure. I think having a strong presence and someone that's a phenomenal communicator, someone that people follow. It can even be someone who may not be at the top of their career and have a lot of growth opportunities, but they're still extremely strong. So it's how you look at them based on their performance and their growth potential to really drive those that are the best and the brightest leaders. And we're just very fortunate to have many really strong leaders who work together again. And when someone falls, we're direct about it. But we're also there to pick each other up as a team and hold each other accountable. And I think that those all play a part.
Yeah, you know the feeling when you're playing basketball with somebody and you look over and they're on your team and you say, and they're just doing incredibly well. And you say to yourself, "I'm so glad they're on my team." Like, I love that in business. Like, that's one of my favorite feelings. And when you're building a high trust team, what traits or actions immediately tell you, like, this person multiplies the mission? This is someone I want on the court in crunch time. What do you see?
I think it's important to be a little bit two-sided with the ability to be really caring and having a strong emotional intelligence or the aspects of emotional intelligence with the ability to also look at facts and say no and be realistic. It's the ability to see situations for what they are and to bring out what's needed at that time. So I think it's certainly the emotional intelligence and being able to relate to people and put yourself in someone else's shoes and to see. I actually worry about all the technology and how that removes maybe our ability to read people. I've seen young parents with kids and the screen time, and I just wonder about the face-to-face recognitions. But I think the ability to relate to people, but also to be able to make hard decisions and hold people accountable are the two biggest strengths. And having great communication skills and presence also is very helpful for leaders.
The Terry that got started in like 2001 is not the Terry that we're talking with today, right? Like you've had growth and personal development and maturation.
Yeah.
I grew up struggling with attention disorders and dyslexia and a lot of humiliation. And it required me to create these little 2-minute micro drills that helped me close the gap in my personal development to the point where people today would never know that I used to struggle or was in the slow kid classes. What kind of personal development have you built in for yourself so you could become an indispensable person in your organization or in your career that could impact lives? What have you had to do to get yourself to the position where nobody would ever know that you used to struggle in an area?
Yeah, I think the leaders that can be most harmful are those that think they can do it all. And they feel that way, that they've accomplished it all. There's no more that they can learn. So I'm a believer in lifelong learning, and my view is completely incomplete. And I say that with people so they hear it, that my view is just one view, and there are many others, and you have to have an ear and be able to listen. I think just learning the industry, learning from great physician leaders, learning from professional nurses. We believe in shared governance. Our nurses are professionals and help direct the work of our professional nursing staff. So I think really committing to learning the new things that are in the industry, building new relationships, taking on other responsibilities in other industries, all those things, I think, make you a different person. I think having children can make you a different person. And I'm the father of three girls, so I actually had to really learn about my communication style and be a little bit critical of how I would communicate with my daughters. Not that it's completely different, but I had to change how I communicated and what I was saying and how I was saying things to be a little bit better at that. So I think it's just learning as you move in your professional career. Never be satisfied yet you're there, because you're never there, and there's always going to be something new to learn, to develop in your own self, testing your leadership strengths and understanding your strengths and weaknesses and being transparent about that, mm-hmm. I think is all important as well.
You know, I've got two older sisters. I'm the youngest in the family. They challenged me in my communication style, and really what they did is they developed a warmth in me that probably wouldn't have been there if I was in a different environment. And I'm grateful for it. Like, it made me uniquely me. And I can see that quality in you. Being indispensable often requires commitment to learning. Like, I've noticed, and maybe you've seen this too, the person that's on the fastest learning curve is often the one that is driving the organization forward more than anybody else. And sharing ideas that challenge the status quo is really important without coming across as pushy or political. How do you coach people mm-hmm. that you see that are young, that have potential, Terry? How do you coach them to have influence and impact, even if they don't have that in their title or the authority? There's got to be a skill you've developed at some point.
Well, you actually coach them. You're very direct. And we have newer members of our team that are a little bit less seasoned. and working through and just having the dialogue about different styles and how you blend those styles. So when, you know, that whole norming, forming, storming, you really make that much smoother if you're transparent and you talk about these things. And I liken it to having an executive session with my board of directors. I have one every meeting. So when I have them, it's not out of the ordinary. It's not for a negative reason. It's just to make sure you're on the same page. Same with doing these kinds of understanding of styles. If you just never talk about it and then you talk about it, people think, oh no, what's wrong? We just talk about those things and you have to coach on timing and the purpose of timing and different styles and how you work together. And to be transparent with everyone involved on the team so that you understand the styles, you understand the proclivities, but you manage that as a team and you do it as a team. And when you walk out, you're a team. When we leave a room, we're as one. And we are very clear when we leave our meetings, what did we all agree to? And I think that's another powerful technique for our leadership team to make sure that you have alignment, which is important.
And something tells me, like you've got 5,000 people underneath you. Something tells me that the impact on a member of the organization that is a quiet conversation, a one-on-one in a moment where other people aren't there is significantly more valuable than a teardown in front of a group of people. And people that we both know shared with me about the way you walk the hospital and are present and interact. What is the value for any leader that's out there of a quiet conversation with somebody that you know that's on the cusp of either going in the direction of indispensable and greatness or the opposite way, because often people teeter between the two?
Yeah, I think that it's always, always important to get to truth. My favorite phrase is esse quam videri, to be rather than seem to be. It's about being truthful and honest. And the best way to do that is to be out and about and see at where the work is done and to talk to people and have it as a kind of a presence where people feel comfortable and they're just not going to tell you, oh, I love your jacket. They'll tell you, this thing over here is a little bit goofy. What are we doing? So we all, as a leadership team, do rounding with a purpose to understand our performance, what's working well, what can be done better. Every day, we do a daily huddle as an entire leadership team. And that may be 120 leaders that are on a WebEx on what's working well today. Where do we have a method? Where do we have a personnel thing? Do we have equipment issues? Do we have celebrations? We do celebrations. All these things are done every morning at 10 a.m. following earlier huddles by nursing units or different departments. So anything that may come up early, first thing, we're talking about it at 10 o'clock to say, okay, who's going to do what to settle that issue? So I think that level of connectivity on what's going on and helping to remove barriers makes it a place where if people are going to do this hard work, it's a little bit better because you can have those things addressed.
And in any organization, it doesn't matter if you got 5,000 or five, being the leader that holds the torch for everybody to see where we're going and a reminder and creates the right energy and excitement and reminds everybody of our shared purpose is a really valuable way to start every day. I'm sure that's written into like your operations on a daily basis of something we've got to get our leaders to. Am I right about that?
I think our leaders are we've been doing this for, it's how we do our work. There's a lot in healthcare about getting to standardize work to produce quality and outcomes that you want. It's about having high reliability principles where you tell any employee can say, halt, I want to stop the line. This is a safety issue. I have a concern. They can tell, I can be an environmental tech and I can tell a surgeon, hold on. You can't do that. I have a question. You can ask clarifying questions. So we use these principles in how we do our work in here to really just, again, provide a safe environment. People usually in healthcare, they want to do good work. They want to do good things. And if you can provide that kind of environment, it just makes it a little bit easier.
I have to thank you for devoting your life to helping elevate the quality of care that our families have. I did a day with a hospital where their whole message was everybody operates under the mother standard of care. How do you want mom treated? And I got to see that filter down through the whole organization and all the way down to the chaplain and to the person that walked the dog through the chemo room.
Pet therapy. Yeah.
Pet therapy. Like, I got to see the mission at play. And it's really beautiful. If anybody hasn't had the opportunity to walk through a hospital as an observer to see how hospitals care, please don't miss that opportunity. It's a really beautiful thing. And he's Terry Murphy. He's the president and CEO of Bay Health in Delaware. Terry, thank you so much for coming here on the Toddcast and helping me ignite for people their why so they can push through the how, and also remind people on how to become indispensable within their organization so they can achieve a much larger mission together. Terry, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Todd. It's been my distinct pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yo, that was a powerful episode. And from what we just learned, it should be obvious how you can now implement these lessons in your life to get to the next level. Now, before you bounce, I just have three quick thoughts. First, thank you for taking me on your incredible life journey. Second, if you receive some value from me and you want to pay it forward, it would mean the world to me if you left an honest rating and review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. I'd be incredibly grateful. And lastly, if you share this episode, whether it be a screenshot or a photo from where you're listening, anything via Instagram stories or LinkedIn, Facebook, or any of the social media sites, just tag me and the guest. I'll repost your content and I'll reply back in the comments because I love mixing it up. In fact, I'd love to share your shout outs in my feed too. Not only are these shout outs really good for you and for me, but they also help us book more amazing guests because they'll be able to see the reach that you're helping to cultivate. This is a way for you to help contribute to the show. So thank you again for listening. And I look forward to earning a regular spot inside that ear of yours. Let's grow.